This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Tech Talk. Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. The last week has seen the geological community declare that we are now in the Anthropocene epoch, an era where man is capable of shaping and altering the planet, which Culture Pop's Matt Amjad thinks is ironic as we stand at the edge of becoming post-human. Most people would have expected you to be talking about the iPhone 7 today.
Is there a new iPhone? Okay, I must have missed that. I've been playing carpool karaoke for the last couple of days. So, no, I did hear something about it. Apparently, it's made out of kryptonite, and its camera is so high resolution you can perform your own colonoscopy with one. To compete, Samsung is planning to include a wireless pacemaker powered by Android Wear in its next devices. And all of that may sound silly, but I think it's actually something that we might hear within the next kind of 10 to 15 years. Mm. Yes, the iPhone was launched yesterday and, you know, it's a marked improvement over the last model. You know, finally it's waterproof, but it's not a radical transformation. You know, we're becoming addicted to these ticks and tocks of greater functionality with our gadgets. But there is one gadget that we haven't updated for some time, tens of thousands of years, in fact. But even that now looks set to change. We now have the power to shape the planet, not necessarily for the good, we also have the power to alter ourselves as well. And there's a very good chance that we will want to update ourselves in the very near future in the same way that we upgrade our phones with
regular talks. What are we talking about? You know, implantable devices, you know, that's not new. As you mentioned, we've had pacemakers as well as stents and artificial limbs for years. Maybe new eyes, new ears.
Quick artificial knee. That's true, but what we've done in the past has mainly concentrated on replacing healthy organs. Unhealthy organs. Yep. And the replacements have generally been inferior. So with the exception of limbs like the ones that Oscar Pistorius uses for the Olympics, these machine replacements haven't done anything to actually increase our abilities. You know, they just restore basic functionality. But of course, that may be about to change. We're on the edge of entering this age of human enhancement. And I'm not talking about, you know, contact lenses that give you a kind of Terminator-style information screen. Mm. We're talking about a world in which we can communicate telepathically, where we can perform superhuman physical tests, where we can walk on Mars without leaving the living room, and where every moment of our lives is available for instant recall.
You know, those are big claims.
Of course they are.
Right. Is there the investment going on to match it?
Well, this world of what they call biohacking is a very weird one. It's a bit like the personal computer scene of the 1970s. There's a strange mixture of big business, academia, and these kind of bedroom and basement tinkerers. There's a very kind of outsider element to all of this, because we're also talking about modifying your body, not just to enhance it physically or mentally, but also aesthetically, or simply because, you know, you can. If you do a quick Google search on transhumans and cyborgs, you'll see that there was a flurry of announcements and articles on the subject in late August. Part of that, of course, is because, you know, there's nothing to write about in August because scientists and politicians and big businesses, everyone's on holiday. But also because of announcements by companies like Kernel, which is a US startup, that they are beginning human tests on an implantable memory device.
So is it like a hard drive for the brain?
Well, the brain is already a pretty good hard drive, but we've talked on previous shows about how memories are stored. So your short-term memories have to be physically categorized as long-term memories and then moved and filed inside the hippocampus.
Of course.
So, of course, perfectly straightforward. Just as conditions like post-traumatic stress disorders are based on the inability to forget memories and to have little control over when those memories are triggered, other conditions like Alzheimer's or in cases of traumatic brain injury, they can affect the hippocampus and it stops us being able to either write new long-term memories or access the ones that are already there. So this device simulates the firing of neurons that trigger that conversion and recording process. Where the controversy lies with this is that it can also be implanted to enhance healthy brains, so allowing you to specifically choose the things that you want written into your memory. So you can just, you know, make a mental note. Okay, right to memory. Yeah, and
literally,
you know,
a mental note.
Literally. So all of those facts are there.
How are big corporations getting involved?
Well, of course, with this kind of stuff, there's a huge number of medical technology possibilities. One of the examples I was reading about was the collision point between body hacking and gene modification. There are currently tests underway to coat the electronic cochlear ear transplants with medications that promote the ear canal to regrow the damaged hair cells or hair follicles that actually cause many of the types of deafness. So the idea is that someone who has experienced terrible hearing loss can use this implant to replace part of the hearing, while tiny wires on it are coated with this gene therapy medication, and they actually help to heal the original organ. So eventually the implant can be taken out and normal hearing is restored.
You know, would that work for someone who was deaf from birth?
Well, again, this is where we come to issues with the brain. You can replace the, you can repair the physical deficiency with the implant or the gene therapy, but that person may not be able to process the sound because their brain has never learned what the sounds mean. So these implants have been used on people who have been deaf from birth, and they haven't been able to learn to recognize sounds. They can hear, but they can't actually process what the sounds are. So, for example, one person after a year of trying was not able to distinguish sh from ah. Yeah, it was just processed as the same by the brain. But again, we could be changing that because a lot of work is being done to increase what's called the plasticity of the brain, which is its ability to record information. So this effectively puts your brain back into the state of being a three-year-old, being a toddler, because this is where our brains are most malleable. And this is where we're able to learn, you know, huge chunks of information like languages and motor skills and how we link them to our senses. So if you couple all of these things together, we should be able to allow people with these conditions from birth to regain sight or hearing, and their brains can actually process the signals.
People might notice that we've left the bedroom body hackers until last.
That's because it's the most interesting and the most grim. One of the leading academic hackers is a chap called Dr. Kevin Warwick. He's a proper university academic. He's not someone who bought his doctor title from some internet thing in South America. He persuaded a surgeon to implant around 100 electrodes in the nerve endings of his arm. Over time, he's learned to control a robot hand with the electrodes. So when he flexes his own arm to move, it causes the robot hand to do exactly what he's doing. And he can also now get sensation back from the hand as well. So it feeds sensation from the robot hand back into to his arms. Some biohackers think that within the next decade or so, we'll be able to choose to replace limbs entirely with robotic ones that are much stronger. So imagine, for example, construction workers who can crush concrete or steel with their hands. The issue then will be that there'll be a divergence between these cyborgs or transhumans who are enhanced, and of course the original unmodified versions like us. And that will mean that there will be a lot of pressure on people to modify. So if you want to increase your attractiveness to employers, your physical strength, your stamina, your brain power are all going to be an issue. Imagine a lawyer who has perfect recall of every statute in the law books, or an accountant who can remember every single one of the company's ledger items for the last 20 years, or, you know, a warehouse operative who can remember every barcode sorting location in a warehouse and move faster than a robot or drone. So, of course, if you choose not to modify yourself, will there be any jobs left for you versus all of these modified people?
So that's still in the future for now. What are the current generation of biohackers up to?
I mean, a lot of the hackers are really taking their lives into their own hands. For example, the implanting of RFID chips, these little chips that you get in credit cards and stuff, it's become quite the thing in some circles. The chips will remotely turn on lights or open a car door. An artist called Neil Harbison, he's had a camera he calls an eyeborg fused to his skull. He's had that since 2004, yeah. He's got an extreme form of color blindness, and the device helps him to overcome it by translating colors into specific sounds that he's memorized, and that allows him to to paint because he can select the colors and understand what they are. Then there's a company that makes little discs that can be embedded under your skin, and they have LEDs that light up. They don't have any purpose. That's all they do. You can have flashing lights glowing from under your skin, which, you know, I imagine looks pretty cool in a nightclub. But yeah,
it all sounds, you know, quite dangerous. What are the risks?
Well, it is. And much of it's happening because there's no real legislation to control this area. I mean, first, there's the risk of infection and scarring because, you know, basically you're doing home-based surgery, opening up your skin, shoving stuff underneath and sewing it back up. Secondly, bedroom tinkerers inserting RFID chips and other devices, they're not necessarily using materials that are tested for use in the body. Some of these guys have said, I think they use, what is it, neodynane? I can't remember the thing. But anyway, this stuff, if it leaches into your bloodstream, it actually shuts down your liver. So, you know, you have to be really careful about all of this stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. And one of the pioneers of the scene, a lady who's called Anonym, again in the UK, she's recorded a number of botched attempts at surgery in her early years of implanting. But maybe the biggest threat of all actually comes from external hacking. If we're putting things into our bodies that are controlled by, you know, electronic signals, whether it's Wi-Fi or Bluetooth, we're enabling hackers to take over entire parts of our body. Imagine being held to ransom by a cyber criminal threatening to, you know, wipe your memory implant. And that already happens with computer owners, people who are fed a virus and then, you know, they get called up and said, we'll release your information if you pay us. Imagine what happens if someone does that with your brain. And the only way to stay safe is actually to keep all of these devices unnetworked, which may, of course, defeat the purpose of having them in the first place. And of course, if you look at companies like Apple and Samsung getting into this industry, they are going to want network control of the devices because this is copyright, this is IP controlled technology. And they're going to want to be able to control when and if you update that software as well. So, you know, you might have this situation of having these implants in your body that you don't own. Which is, you know, basically what we do with our phones now. We own the phone, but we don't own the software that sits on the phone. So, yeah, I would say enjoy the new iPhone before Apple moves the App Store into your brain.
Man, I'm Rich from culturepop.com. He'll be around for Geek Squad together with Jeff Sandu after this. Tech Talk BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.